Hello, everyone. Do you know someone who would benefit from deeper insight into manipulation, cults, and the tools for reclaiming their life? Give them the gift of knowledge and support with a Patreon membership to the Indoctrination Podcast. It's a meaningful way to share exclusive episodes and bonus content. So here's how to do it. Head to www.patreon.com/indoctrination. Select the tier you would like to gift, and then choose the option to purchase as a gift. Enter your friend or family member's email, add a personal message, a special delivery. They'll receive a special email letting them know you've unlocked a membership just for them. Instead of another ordinary present, give the gift of empowerment, of understanding, and healing. Visit our Patreon today and share it with someone you care about. Hello, everyone. I want to be sure to take a few moments to encourage everyone to allow themselves some good self-care and to be able to take a break during the holiday season and as we lead into the new year. No matter your religious background or no religion at all or your family situation, these next few weeks can be very stressful. And that is true actually for everyone for a variety of reasons. And I want to make sure that we all collectively take a step back and that you give yourself that break whenever possible in whatever ways you can. So to follow my own advice, my team and I are going to be taking a short break to rejuvenate ourselves and to make plans for all of the amazing shows that we have coming up for you in the new year that we're very excited about. Enjoy these re-releases, and regular episodes will resume on January 7th. Enjoy the episode and take good care. Thanks for tuning in to our Patreon exclusive bonus episode. Listeners like you are the reason we keep the show going, so thanks so much for your support. And enjoy this bonus interview as our thanks to you. Hello, lovely, lovely, lovely Patreon supporters. Here is another bonus episode as our gift to you. In honor of the time of year and the holidays that a lot of people who are listening are going to be celebrating, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all the other religious groups and their holidays, we wanted to try to tackle the subject that comes up for a lot of people, especially during the climate in the world now, which is talking to people with differing views. It is so important to understand how to do that if it's at all possible. And if someone else who you're trying to deal with makes it impossible, it doesn't mean you didn't do it well enough or the right way. It's just they might not be quite ready to have the discussion. But let's try to get to some of the heart of it. And the first thing to try to understand is something called cognitive dissonance. These are opposing viewpoints, and it creates a lot of discomfort and resistance. It's a psychological theory developed by Leon Festinger in the 1950s and refers to the mental discomfort or tension that a person experiences when they hold two or more contradictory beliefs and values and attitudes at the same time, or when their behavior contradicts their beliefs or values. So, it causes tension because it's a challenge to self-identity, and there is a fear of being wrong. Maybe your view isn't right. Maybe you always thought it was, and here this other person is challenging it, or exposure to new material is challenging it. And then the effort it takes to change. Sometimes when you have dealt with family where the whole time you've been talking about something that really matters to you or that is really your view of things, and then new information comes up and you change your views, it might actually be hard to go back on it the next time because you're going to be faced sometimes with people who say, but wait, you gave me a horrible time about that last year and now you agree with me? Sometimes people have a hard time letting you actually change your views. Still not a reason enough not to do it. And then the social consequences of having different views. You know that it might cause negative feedback or create discomfort, and you might think that you just need to get through the night or that interchange without causing too much problem. So to reduce the cognitive dissonance, people might ignore or deny the opposing viewpoints, or only seek out information that supports their current beliefs, which is all too easy to do now with if you watch CNN or Fox or MSNBC or go on to so many things online that have leanings to the right and to the left and everywhere in between. And then there's also the fear of vulnerability. It's hard when you suddenly change your mind, you agree with the person you were arguing with the last time, because in some circles, that would be seen as showing confidence and logic and growth. But in other circles, like in cultic groups, that would be seen as being weak or absolutely being wrong. So sometimes when people have been involved in cultic groups, they have a huge fear of being wrong. And this is linked to the push for perfectionism, the desire, the need within certain circles, certain groups for approval, or else you're demoted, or else you're pushed out. And so there's quite a price to pay for suddenly not coming across as having views that are aligned with the group around you, i.e. seeming perfect. There's also the impact on your mental health. Constantly fearing vulnerability in these ways can lead to stress, anxiety, depression. It can prevent individuals from seeking help and can exacerbate feelings of loneliness and isolation. So a lot of people will just stay in the sort of passive agreement with other people around them because it makes the moment easier. And that's why I think sometimes when people come forward and say things on this podcast, online, and then they get hate, and just like I've gotten in the past for taking on certain subjects, certain stories, I like to hear it as I see it to a great degree, which is that if you think that what you're presenting actually has some merit and has some proof behind it, and someone else's views come from a place of having blinders on, but they're fighting against you, I see it as that they're just not ready yet. I use the word yet quite a lot. They're not ready yet to see it in the way that it really is, because that might mean there's this domino effect. They have to sort of rethink everything in their lives, and they might not be ready for that. And so it's really good to think, too, that if you say to someone who you disagreed with last time, who you might agree with this time, or you agreed with them last time and now you disagree with them this time, that you're showing your vulnerability, you're showing your openness, you're showing your courage. It's not a weakness. It takes strength to open up. It takes strength to express your feelings and to admit that you may have been wrong. Embracing vulnerability can lead to stronger relationships and also improved mental health. When we think about scientific method, we think about coming to conclusions that are not static, conclusions that are based on the information we have at the time. But then there can be new information accrued, which then leads to differing and different conclusions. And that's something that we want for social issues, religious beliefs. We want that to be something that's fluid based on new information. You might also not be getting access to a lot of information that would be important for you to have so you could be making an educated decision There are these things that we call echo chambers. Social media platforms usually often use algorithms that show users content similar to what they've liked or interacted with in the past. And this can create these echo chambers where users are exposed primarily to viewpoints that align with their own, reinforcing their existing beliefs and reducing exposure to differing opinions. I've had that happen to me when I care about a subject and I kind of see it with a certain leaning. Those are the articles I get. And I might not know that there are just as many, if not more, articles that show the opposing viewpoint. I might really think that I'm in the right. And that's why I value having these discussions so people could say, actually, have you seen these articles? Have you seen this way of looking at it? Have you read this person who seems to know a lot about a lot of things, who sees it differently? Know also that some of your views are from misinformation and truly fake news, which is all too prevalent now. There's also the online disinhibition effect. The anonymity and physical distance provided by social media can lead to more extreme, less inhibited behavior. And this can lead people to not want to get involved in arguments because other people on the other side who don't know them or never going to see them, never have to interact with them, can be cruel. They can actually be threatening because they don't have to say it to your face. And then just dealing with the political and media environment that we're living in now, knowing that there is so much that is causing people's temperature to rise. Addressing this polarization is complex and requires efforts at multiple levels, including media literacy, education, algorithmic changes on social media platforms, and figuring out a way to promote civil discourse and understanding. And so, if people don't really want to talk about it, whatever it is, you might want to say, if it's important to you, you might want to let them know that open dialogue actually causes more empathy and understanding. They don't just have to hear you lecture them, but they get to be heard too. And they get to express why that position matters to them. It can enhance relationships. It can promote tolerance. It can facilitate conflict resolution. It can boost collaboration. It can foster personal growth and problem-solving skills. And it supports emotional intelligence and, very much in line with what we talk about here, it gives you a chance to identify manipulative tactics being used by people in your circle, by people in your group, by people in your family, by media. And so one of the things that really, really helps when you're about to have a conversation about something that might cause tension is to clarify what your intention is. And to say something like, this is so that we better understand each other, so that we have more of a closeness, or we might see that we have more in common than we think. And maybe even the thing that you have in common isn't about the content of what you believe in, but just the fact that you both care to this degree. Then it's also really important to set boundaries. Open communication allows people to express their comfort levels and set personal boundaries. And if these boundaries are repeatedly crossed, then you get to see who's ready to have this discussion and really who isn't yet. And sometimes a boundary can be, you know what, if someone starts shouting, that's sort of when the discussion is going to end. I'm not going to be involved anymore. Or if it really gets heated, I might need to go out for a minute by myself to kind of cool down before I come back. But if someone follows you out and is still berating you, they are crossing the boundary that you set ahead of time that you needed a moment alone. And also, if it devolves into ad hominem attacks, and ad hominem attacks are when it gets personal. When someone has run out of material, they'll just say, oh, yeah, well, you're dumb, or I don't know, whatever, you're ugly, or something's totally outlandish and childish. But that's also usually because they don't have something actually to add to the discussion, and they're frustrated by that. And so you can say, oh, you know, if it gets personal and you start, I don't know, talking about the way I look or who I married or I don't know, whatever, the car I drive, something, or that I have ugly shoes on, who knows, or that I'm stupid, that's a time to regroup and maybe pause or see if we can both go and do some more research and then come back and talk some more. It's really good to also know that your job is not only to talk, but to listen. Active listening is crucial. So really hear a person and really let them know that you want to hear them too, even if it's uncomfortable, even if they're saying something that you might even think is offensive, not that they're personally offending you, but that they might have a position that you find offensive. And so if you can express your feelings by starting with I statements, not, well, if you weren't so blah, 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 then you would believe this, but to say, I think this and I feel this, and it matters to me to believe in this cause for the following reasons, makes it a lot easier in the discussion, less blaming. And then also try to state what you need from the discussion. I'll sometimes tell families and loved ones, friends, that maybe they need to forfeit being right. And what they can do when they start the discussion is to say, I actually do need to be heard, but I don't need to be right. And I also don't want to have to agree with you, and I don't want to have to make myself wrong and you right in order for us to get through this discussion. Can we both just have ideas that we're sharing and see if you can get a buy-in from the other person to be on board for that? When you feel that you have shared goals, it helps a lot to lower the temperature. It also helps you have some empathy and understanding, but it's also good to get to a place of respecting differences. I know that that's sometimes hard when someone is saying something that you find absolutely horrible, against your conscience, against every fiber of your being, but listen to it and wonder why it matters to them and why they feel that way. And see if then if there's something you want to be able to share with them to help them see it a little closer to the way you see it and why you see it that way and why it matters to you. This should be an ongoing discussion. It's also good afterwards, if it's been tense, to try to smile, to try to laugh, to try to shake hands, to try to hug. And if that just doesn't happen, then get self-care elsewhere from other people who were there, or call a friend, call family, and get a sense that you still have support and that you haven't necessarily done something wrong by wanting to bring this up. It is also good at the end to recap the key points, not only that you made, but that you heard the other person make, and ask them to do the same, because that shows that you really cared about hearing what the other person was saying. Good luck to all of you. Happy holidays, whatever holiday you celebrate. Take care. Thanks again for listening to our Patreon bonus episode. Your support is crucial to keeping the show on the air. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter and Instagram for more content and resources. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.